I'm in Hebrews chapter 3 this morning. I hope you brought a copy of God's Word. If you didn't, I encourage you to grab a Bible there in the pew rack in front of you so that we can all open God's Word and have our hearts open before Him this morning. Hebrews chapter 3, and as we saw last week, we had the example of a faithful servant, Moses, and a faithful son that we need to look to in our journey of faith. One built God's house, and one is over God's house. And those are examples that Paul puts before us so that we will follow those examples. The one that he's going to give us today is an example you don't want to emulate, you don't want to follow. We don't want to be like this group we're going to read about this morning, because they were not walking by faith, they lacked faith, they did not believe. And this book is written to exhort us to, in our journey, to fix our eyes on Christ and run the race of faith and to have a persevering, enduring kind of faith. And that's what we want and need this morning. So if you found Hebrews chapter 3, I'm going to start reading in verse 7. If you don't mind standing in honor of the word of the Lord, I'm going to read just down through verse 12 this morning, and then we'll finish out the whole chapter here as God speaks to us. Hear what the word of the Lord says this morning. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, you might want to notice that word, take today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me. They tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Father, search our hearts, try our hearts, know our hearts, know our anxious thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in us, Lord. We, as David would pray in that psalm, Lord, we want to realize, Lord, you know our paths. You're intimately acquainted with all our ways, and you invite us, Lord, to walk with you, journey with you by faith. God, I pray today that, Lord, we would heed this warning, Father, and that as we examine our life, particularly as we approach this table, Lord, reminding ourselves of what Christ did for us, Lord, may we realize today that as we search our hearts, you're looking for hearts that are yielded, surrendered, obeying, and believing all that you've told us, Lord. Lord, help us to make certain that our hearts are not like those people in the wilderness, Lord, who harden their hearts against you and your will. God, may we experience all the fullness of the rest that you offer us in Christ, and may we enjoy it each and every day. It's in his precious name we all pray. All God's people said amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. I don't know about you, but have you ever had that experience where there's this ringing in your ear? It's that sharp, piercing sound. You can't get rid of it. I mean, even when you muffle your ears and think, well, if I'll just muffle my ears, it'll go away, and it doesn't. It seems like it's inside of us in some way. They call it tinnitus, right? And we're not certain how it actually happens so much, but I just know a majority of people have had that wonderful experience. And of how do you stop that ringing in my ears? Well, I want to talk about a noise that you're hearing today, but it's not a noise that's ringing in your ears. It's actually a voice, and it's the voice of God. God is speaking to all of us today. He is speaking and trying to get your attention this morning. He is speaking to us in a way that the psalmist would say, you and I need to incline our hearts today to hear and hearken to what God is saying. When the author wrote this sermon, when Paul wrote this exhortation, he's appealing to the Old Testament, and he's trying to help them to realize, even the psalmist was saying, listen, listen, God's speaking today. Which isn't surprising to us, because we learn that over in chapter 1. The final word from God has been spoken. Jesus, that final word. God spoke in a variety of ways over in the Old Testament, and yet he's spoken this final word to you and to me. Do you hear him? He's speaking. You say, hold on a second, we weren't there on the shores of Galilee with Jesus. We weren't there in the streets of Judea and Jerusalem with Jesus. What do you mean, do I hear the voice of Jesus? No, you see, Jesus has said that he would send another, a helpmate, one who would come along and would speak to us, the Spirit of God, his Spirit. The one who speaks and convicts us of sin, of unbelief, and of sin because we don't trust and we don't obey. And is trying to convince you and convince me to walk in the truth. He bears a faithful witness, Jesus would say. He will bear witness of me. He's speaking. He's speaking to all of us. And an eternal God, listen, he speaks. And when an eternal God speaks, that word is relevant for every age. That's why here in verse 7 when it says, the Holy Spirit says, not said, he's going to quote the Old Testament. He says the Holy Spirit says even today. I mean, the psalmist there when he was writing to God's people in his day, he said, listen, hear what the Spirit says. Don't be like that generation in the Old Testament. Don't be like them. Hear God speak. Do you and I hear God speak? Remember, this exhortation, as I said, we don't want to drift from what we're hearing God say. God's speaking, and if we neglect so great a salvation that we have heard, as it says over in chapter 2, verse 1, how are we going to escape? If this word was spoken to us, how are we going to escape if we neglect what God has said to us? In fact, that drifting away that is all we're all in danger of, it moves to departing from the Word of God so that our heart becomes dull, we'll see in chapter 6, to where then people despise what God says and even defy what God says. That's the regression that takes place if you and I won't hear God's Word today. This is the pathway. It's a warning to us. That's why there was a beware that we're going to see in just a moment. We need to be alert and attentive today because God is speaking. The question is, am I listening? Now, he's speaking today. Now, you'll notice that over and over as we go down through this. He will say this four or five times. Today, today, today. Not tomorrow. Not yesterday. Today. Right now, God speaks to you and to me. Now, the psalmist, of course, he said in his day, listen to what God is saying to us. Not like that faithless generation. And the author of Hebrews, Paul, is saying it's the same way for you and I today. And I would say as a pastor, listen, it's relevant right now for everyone here in the sanctuary, all those watching online, anyone listening on the radio. When the Word of God opens, God speaks. And God is trying to speak to us. And he has a word for us. The question again is my heart receptive to what God is saying? Am I willing to incline my heart? Incline my ear. Remember the kids in the movie Squirrel and the dog's ears would go up? It's kind of like that. Squirrel, we're not. God speaks. What is he saying? Am I inclined? Because he is speaking. This final word that speaks to us. And what is he saying today? If you will hear my voice, hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the days of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me. They tried me. They saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. He's looking back to the psalmist who's looking back to the Exodus generation, those people who were in bondage in Israel. You know the story. They were in bondage and they cried out for a deliverer. God, deliver us from this bondage. Get us out of this mess. We want to be free. God raised up Moses. See, Moses found favor in God's eyes and God identified him. You remember at the burning bush, he said, I've heard my people's cry and you are going to go and be the instrument that I use to deliver them. And they went, Moses went and God worked miraculous things through him. So many 10 plagues, he demonstrated just how powerful he was, just how much power he had and how he was superior to all the gods of Egypt. And he went and he delivered his people. You remember that Pharaoh finally said, get out of here, go. And as they went, Pharaoh said, what have I done? And he went and chased them down. And yet God led his people by a pillar of fire and a pillar of smoke, a cloud of smoke, led them on dry ground through the Red Sea, just swarming or engulfing all of Pharaoh's army behind God's people in the Red Sea. Led them out into the wilderness, and there out into the wilderness, God demonstrated his awesome power provided for them. But Israel hardened their hearts. How so? In rebellion against God. They tested him. They tried him. They saw his works for 40 years. You know, it's amazing. You go back and at the beginning of the Exodus in chapter 17, as God led his people and led them in victory, it wasn't shortly after they had just gone into the wilderness. God had already demonstrated his greater power. And what happened? They started grumbling and complaining. Oh, Moses, you brought us out here to die. Look at this. There's no water. Look at all these millions of people. How are we going to feed them? How are you going to, where are they going to find, you know, good cold water? Look, we have these bitter waters here. And they tried God. They tested God. They tempted God in this way. And yet God faithfully provided for them. And as that wasn't enough, he brought the manna every day. The raisin cakes, literally, is what it would taste like. He brought the quail meat, so much so that they had to vomit. They had so much. He faithfully provided for them all those years. And what's amazing, in the book of Numbers, you see there where he says, for 40 years I provided for them, and I was angry with them. Why? Because even after 40 years, all they had to do was speak, and a good shepherd would provide for them. And yet even Moses there at Kadesh smote the rock instead of just speaking to it to provide for him. Their hearts were not ready to hear and heed and hold on to what God says. And God spoke, and the author is saying, listen, the Spirit of God is speaking to us today. He's speaking to you and me today, as he spoke in the Psalms and as even God spoke to his people. Don't harden your hearts at me. Have a heart, have a mind that is open and receptive to what God says. Do you realize, listen, when Jesus taught the parable of the soils about the sower who went out to throw the seed, everywhere the seed fell, the problem wasn't with the seed, the problem was with the soil and the receptivity of the soil to the word that God was spoken. This is why, listen, that's the most important parable. And if you don't understand that one, you won't understand any of them, because that parable speaks about our willingness to hear what God is saying to us every time the word of God is open. And see, this isn't just something that happens on Sunday for an hour. He says today, not the Lord's day, every day, listen, that you and I are alive is today. Tomorrow's gone, you can't relive it. Tomorrow's not here yet, so don't boast about it. All you and I have is today. Today. God wants, listen, every morning that you and I wake up, God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to you and me. Listen, where else are we going to turn? Jesus has the words of life. Where are we going to go? I need to hear God speak. You need to hear God speak. I need to have a healthy diet of opening the word and to hear what God has to say, to help me to navigate life as a good shepherd, to go down the right paths and to get off the wrong paths, and to realize I don't want to be like this faithless generation who would not incline to hear what God had to say today. Now, the warning is, don't harden your hearts. Beware, verses 12 through 15, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. You see, in verse 1, it says, holy brethren, we are partakers of the heavenly calling. We heard God speak. God spoke. He called us. The Spirit of God convicted us, and we said, I'm a wretched sinner. God, have mercy on me. But I see Jesus who died for me, and I want to put my faith and trust in him and ask him to be my Lord and Savior. We've partaken of that. We've got to guard our hearts lest we have an unbelieving heart like that generation. A heart, listen, how do I get in that predicament? Well, here's what he says. He says, our hearts are hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin lies. It tells you things that are not true. God always speaks truth. When you and I listen to sin, give into that temptation, what we are doing is calcifying our heart, hardening our heart. And as we do that over time, if we don't repent and turn back to the gracious invitation of God to repent and be forgiven and forsake that sin, what happens is our heart gets harder, so much so that it's not surprising that it becomes dull to what God is saying and his spirit, so that we end up doubting him and defying him and despising him. This is the progression. This is the warning all throughout this exhortation. Constantly, you and I need to examine our hearts today. That means when I wake up on Monday morning, and if I'm not opening the Word of God to hear God speak today, then I'm going to be in danger. I may have believe in, you know what, in the sin of pride, that you know what, I can do this without God. I can manage it. That is a bad place to be in. Don't be there. I need God to speak to me every day. You need God to speak to you every day. And while we have the opportunity, antidotes to this is that I gather together with God's people so that I can exhort you and you can exhort me and we can exhort one another to remain faithful. This is why being in the body, a part of the body, is so essential. That we gather. I notice it's interesting to me that he says it this way in verse 13, but exhort one another daily. Daily. Does that mean we all need to show up tomorrow at 11 a.m. for worship here at South River Baptist Church, or tomorrow night for worship at South, so we can exhort one another daily? In what sense do you and I do that daily, or should we do that daily? What it's saying is, listen, our community is not limited to an hour on Sunday. We are a family of faith, a covenant people, and we, listen, have a responsibility. We are our brother's keeper. We have a responsibility to one another. If you avoid being with God's people, you're putting yourself in a position that is not healthy spiritually for you. We need to gather together, and not just on Sunday, but having opportunities throughout the week where our paths cross so we can encourage one another, stay faithful, stay true, keep walking towards the King. Keep walking towards our King. Keep serving him. Keep yielding your heart to him. And I need that, and you need that. Technology today helps us to do that. I mean, my goodness, we can text and phone call anywhere and everywhere to check up and encourage one another. By the way, this is exhort one another, which means don't sit there and wait for someone to call you. You take the initiative, and maybe by your exhorting someone else, God will use them to exhort you. And so often we're saying, well, nobody's called me. No one's checked on me. Time out. Have you exhorted one another? Have you done that? You have that responsibility as well. We are a body. All of us are gifted by the Spirit of Almighty God. I have a responsibility to use the spiritual gifts that he's given me for the benefit of all, and so do you. And so I want to exhort you, and I want you to exhort me. And as we do this as a body, we are less inclined then to listen to the lies of sin. Because we're reminding one another of the righteousness of our King and the rightness of his ways, and why we need to run this race with our eyes fixed on him until we all reach his throne. Now here's the thing. My heart, your heart, is easily hardened and darkened when we don't listen to the light that God is shining into our life. And that light comes through the illuminating presence, the illuminating word right here. As what psalmist would say over in Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. It'll show you and I the direction we should go and the steps we should be taking down that path if we will listen to the word. And as that light illumines the darkness of my heart, it helps me to turn away from sin and turn to my righteous King and follow him and obey him. If we're partakers of Christ, let's hold fast. Let's hold to our confidence that we have in him and be steadfast all the way to the end. One of the evidences that you and I are genuinely a child of God is this is borne out in our life. As we stay faithful, God is faithful, beloved. The good work he's began in us, he's faithful to complete. That's what he tells me. And here's the amazing thing. There's times that I have disobeyed and not always done what God says, and he remains faithful. Praise the Lord. But that's not an invitation for me to continue to be faithless and not trust him. It should woo my heart. Oh, he loves me that much. I want to follow him. I want to walk in his ways. And you and I need one another to speak in one another's lives. Listen, to say, let's keep going. We've not reached there yet. As the Ecclesiastes would say, listen, you know, two men, they walk together. It's good to walk in company because if one falls, someone can pick him up. And we need that. You need that. You need to intentionally, listen, draw your boundaries with wise men and wise women. Why? Because those who walk wise, according to the Proverbs, he who walks in wisdom walks with wise men. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. Who are wise men? Those who fear the Lord. Who are fools? Those who know better than the Lord and don't want to hear what God says. Now here's the amazing thing. I don't want to harden my heart. You shouldn't want to harden a heart because God is speaking. And here's the amazing thing I discover over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Do you realize, listen, Lady Wisdom is speaking everywhere in life. She is on the concourses, the major thoroughfares. On top of a building is the picture. And she's got a megaphone. She's speaking out to everybody, all the people who are passing by. It's interesting there. Three classes of people over there in Proverbs chapter 1. It talks to the scoffers, it talks to the fools, and it talks to the simple-minded. The scoffers, those who know everything. If you know everything, you don't need God, right? Because you know everything. The fools who don't want to know anything and the simple ones who don't know anything. Some don't know anything, some don't want to know anything, and some know everything. And wisdom is speaking. She's crying out. It's fascinating. At the crossroads, what is that? Well, that's a decision point. Do I go this way or do I go that way? I've got to make a decision today. Should I go in this direction or should I go in this direction? God, do you have a word for me? Could you show me? Amen. Praise the Lord, he can, and he can give you and I a peace about that decision if we're guided by his spirit, inclined as the word leads us in that direction. She's speaking at all those crossroads, at the gates or at the doors, it says. What is a gate or what is a door? It's an entry point into something else on the other side. So the decisions that you're entertaining today about something new, going through a door, do I go through this door or not, right? I've prayed this. You ever prayed this before? God, will you just close the door if this isn't your will? Yeah, that's why. Because the gates and the doors are right there. God's trying to guide us in the decisions we're making. And these are major decisions throughout life. The God who designed you and designed me speaks to us to help us to navigate life. So that, listen, we reach the other shore and we enter into the rest that he has for us. This is what we have to be on guard. Now listen, if I neglect doing what God has clearly told me to do, my heart will become hardened. If I'm too busy with life that I don't have time really to pray something through and even open the word to hear him speak, then my heart's going to grow hardened and I'm not going to have the illuminating presence of God's word in my life to help me to renew my mind and to shape and mold the decisions I have to make. You and I have to make that decision. Notice what it said back up there in verse 7. Today, if you will hear his voice. If you will, that's a volitional choice. God is not going to force this upon us. You will make a choice. Will I hear what God is saying or will I reject what God is saying? Will I incline my ear and my heart? 1 Kings chapter 3, what did Solomon pray for? He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for a mighty army. Didn't ask for gold. He asked for a hearing heart, because that's what wisdom is. I am inclined. I don't know the answers, but I know the one and found the one who does. And I need him to speak into my life. And the warning is, don't harden your hearts. Don't be like that generation. In fact, he goes back now in verse 16, well, verse 15 to the end, and he says, listen, today, here it is again, today, a decision. Every day that you and I wake up is today. And when I wake up, if I will hear, there it is again, if I will hear, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, when they shook their fists at God and they knew better than God and didn't want to do it God's way because they knew better than God. If you're like that, listen, stop and think. For who, having heard, rebelled. Who was it who heard God and rebelled against him? Well, it was all those who came out of Egypt, led by Moses. Moses, the faithful servant. His is the example to follow, not that faithless generation. Realizing, listen, they had seen and experienced deliverance. God had saved them. That generation that was led out of Egypt, the picture is of their emancipation, their freedom, their deliverance. God gave them the exodus out of that. Praise God. God's led us out from the bondage of sin. Don't rebel against him. Don't harden your heart against him today. He's still speaking to you, speaking to me in our lives. Who was it, by the way, was he angry with for 40 years? But for those years of walking in the wilderness, who was he angry with? Was it not with those who sinned? Whose corpses fell in the wilderness? You remember what happened? He brought them all the way right there to the edge of the promised land. They were ready to go in. The spies went in, 12 of them, one from each tribe. And they came back and they gave the report. It's just as he said. I mean, we got pomegranates the size of beach balls. And there's grapes and honey. And yeah, but there's giants. We can't do this. We're just little grasshoppers. There's no way we can do this. And only two of them said, let's go. Who was it? Joshua and Caleb. Let's go take it. We know great is our God. Let's go. But no, they shirked back in unbelief. We can't do it. Time to do laps. 40 years. 40 years God had to lead them. Was he still faithful to provide for them? Yes. Was he faithful to clothe them? Yes. Was he faithful to send the manna every morning? Yes. 40 years. Moses writes about it over in Psalm 90. The eternality of God and the temporality of man. And as he writes about those, listen, who have, 60 years of life, maybe 70, and yet it's all misery and sorrow. And he's looking at people dying in the wilderness, and yet he says this, God, teach us to number our days, that we'll have a heart of wisdom. Oh, that we had a heart of wisdom, a heart that's hearing, listening to what God is going to say to us today. Because I only have today. None of us are promised tomorrow. I need to be found faithful today. I don't want to do laps in life. Some of us have been doing laps, be honest. And I need to say, you know what, God? Forgive me. I want to go forward in faith. I'm done doing laps. I want to follow wherever you will lead. I surrender. What is it you want me to do? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? It was those who did not obey. There's a picture here. Listen, there's a picture here about faith and obedience. Listen, if we say we believe, the evidence of it is our obedience. And what is obedience? He said, if you love me, you'll do what? Keep my commandments. You'll obey. When you and I obey, we truly do believe God said. When we obey, what we are doing is I'm putting some shoe leather to my faith. I'm taking him at his word. I'm believing what he says. Now listen, if God speaks to you and has spoken to you, and you haven't obeyed, we haven't obeyed, then we need to repent and say, no, forgive me. I need to obey and go this way and do what you've told me to do. In fact, we're going to partake of this meal in just a moment. And even before we partake of it, we want to examine ourselves. We want to examine ourselves. Am I being obedient today? Am I being obedient today? Was I obedient serving the Lord, obeying the Lord, doing what the Lord told me? Or is there something in my life that I need to repent of today? Am I being faithful to exhort one another? Or am I holding unforgiveness against someone? Am I being faithful to do what God has told me? All the one another's in the scripture. As the body of believers, listen, we are drawing our boundaries together. God has done that. We all have partaken of the heavenly calling as the brethren. Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing today? Am I being obedient? Because if I haven't, then I'm going to eat this meal in a way that's not worthy of what this meal represents. And here's what this meal represents. That you and I come to this table realizing we're not worthy because we haven't always done what we're supposed to do today. And we come saying, God, have mercy on me. Because there's only one, listen, only one who faithfully did everything the Father told him to do. And what that meant is that he lived the perfect life none of us could live and died on the cross to pay the penalty for all of our imperfections, all the things you and I stumbled and fell short of when we didn't. We said, no, I'm not going to obey today. And we hardened our heart. We're going to partake of this bread and of this cup. It's a reminder that the body was broken. The penalty of sin was paid, and it's paid in full. Praise the Lord today. And that this cup is a reminder of the covenant, the blood of the new covenant, that he has made a new covenant with us as the people of God. And we are a privileged people. But if we're not walking by faith, not walking by obedience, then we need to repent of that before we take part in the meal. If we don't, we are putting ourselves in a dangerous position. Paul would say, some of y'all are sick and some have died because you're not eating in a manner worthy of the Lord. It's a serious thing what we're about to do. And I want you to take it serious. But I take it serious, you take it serious. Listen, if we realize they didn't experience the full promises because of a lack of faith. God wants us to be faithful. To believe. Remember, what did we learn in the first series, the first sermon that I preached? If you remember your card, Romans chapter 10. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing what? The word of God. You see, God's speaking, and you have to decide. I'll take him at his word. I believe he's speaking truth. I believe he won't lie to me. I want to take him at his word. That may relate to not only being saved and putting your faith and trust in Christ, but it may now mean how you and I relate to our spouse, how we relate to our children, how our children honor their parents, how we relate to peers, those around us, how we relate and do our work at work and as an example and testimony that Christ has saved us. We listen to the word because it now guides our life and helps us to know how to live our lives in a way that pleases him. And so as we approach the Lord's table this morning, I'm going to invite you to bow your heads this morning and to search the word, search your hearts and heed and hear the word of God this morning. Am I listening and hearing what the living God is saying to me today? Over and over again, the prophets had to come to his people pleading with them, hear what God is saying. Elijah stood on a mountain. He said, how long will you differ between two opinions? If the Lord is God, obey him. If Baal, then follow him. Everyone has to make their own decision. And today, if you and I will hear God, then we should unite faith and obedience, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey.